Takes it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is on the air following Barry and Joel and the Killer Bees. Welcome in, everybody, tonight. 713-780-3776. Is a number to call in tonight. We stream at ESPN975.com, like always. And looking forward to hearing from you tonight. I just posted out on Twitter, at Glenn Davis Sock. Who takes the Liga MX title this year? Club America or Rayados? It gets underway tomorrow, the first leg, and then the second leg will be on the weekend. Club America or Rayados? And for all those Cruz Azul fans, my heart goes out to you. But instead of celebrating, the reboot never occurred off the kickoff, and it led to the penalty. And there's no one to blame but yourself. And for those that are saying it wasn't a penalty, I say don't put yourself in that position. 713-780-3776 is the number. Next Tuesday, we go live 6 to 8 over at Hugh O'Connor's Pub on Dinkins in West University. This is going to be a kind of combined thank you. World Cup kind of celebration, since we have the World Cup coming here in 2026, reaching out to all the supporters groups. Everybody and everybody and anybody is invited. We're going to have some really interesting guests there that are going to do some live hits with me on the air. We're going to have BMAC back in studio here running the show. Abigail's going to be out there helping us out. So we're going to have a big night out there. We've got the food coming from Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Also, Little Patagonia Empanadas.
Now I got to switch. Yeah. She's well, going to get on site with Nico Nico's and Patagonia, and I got to be stuck here without that?
Abigail's going to do good.
And I got a raw deal there.
Food department. Well, we'll get something sent up to you, Brian. Don't worry.
I know. You always take care of me. I'm complaining for fun, but you always take care of me.
No. We have to fuel you like a champion. You got to fuel like a champion that you are, and we appreciate everything you do. Not only producing, but with your takes on the Killer Bees as well. So it's going to be a good night. You're going to see some ex-pros out there. You're going to see some movers and shakers around World Cup 2026. The first 30 people in are going to get either a Capelli soccer ball or a Soccer Matters t-shirt. So we're going to have some goodies to give away. It's going to be a lot of fun. Probably do a raffle for a signed jersey. Bunch of things going on out there. But most importantly, it's to get in there and everybody network and have a good time. There will be, and I do hope that, you know, some of the soccer influencers will make their way out there as well, because we're going to have some people from Houston team out there as well as we talk about what the World Cup is going to bring to Houston, what we should be prepared for, how to get ahead of it, because there's going to be people all over the place in this city. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in tonight, and would love to hear from you. So let's get a little Champions League. So we had, let's just start it off in big fashion here. We had a fantastic goal here from Juventus. Juventus today beat Manchester City 2-0. The second goal is scored by Weston McKennie. McKennie comes all the way back into midfield. It's a switch of play to his fellow U.S. teammate, Tim Weah. Weah drives towards the end line. He draws pretty much all the attention, all three. McKennie continues his run, is unmarked, and hits a spectacular side volley. Here's what it sounded like.
Con todo su oficio, con toda su calidad, y juega para McKennie. Ahí está Weah. A esto lo metieron. Weah con la oportunidad. Mete el centro, se lo taparon. Vuelve a centrar McKennie, golazo. Gol. Gol de la Juve. Lo metió McKennie.
What a goal from Weston McKennie. Seems back, seems fit, seems trim. And here's Manchester City. Is this unthinkable or what? That they could potentially be eliminated from the Champions League. The times are tough for Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. And he said he's already come out and said he's not going to coach another club. He said when his City contract runs out in 2027, that's it. Now, he did not rule out coaching a national team. So this was a big, big win for Juventus. Weah and McKennie put together a goal that's pretty much indelible, I think, when it comes to American players in the Champions League. Fantastic goal. Quality of the opponent in Man City, who may be not as good a quality of an opponent right now, but they are struggling in a mighty, mighty way. We also had a lot of other results today. Atletico Madrid 3-1 over Bratislava. Griezmann got two goals in that one. That's Bratislava from, I believe, Slovakia. Arsenal 3-0 over Monaco. Saka had a pair in that one. Dortmund-Barcelona, excellent game today, a five-goal game. Ends up with Ferran Torres getting the game winner after a beautiful ball from Lamine Yamal. 3-2, that was at Dortmund. Gio Reyna got a rare start for Dortmund. Barcelona had 55% of the ball. Parts of that game that I saw, Reyna had one shot that was blocked and kind of deflected wide. So we'll see what happens with Gio Reyna in his future, but health has to be a big part of it. That's a liability right now. By the way, Christian Pulisic is not going to play again in 2024, but Sky Sports and Milan News reported that the calf injury. So when somebody says somebody's torn a calf, that really sounds, you know, scary, right? Like a long-term potential injury. In this case, they have used these words, and I'll let you decipher them with your medical backgrounds out there. Low-degree lesion of soleus muscle, which tells me it's not as serious of an injury that maybe we would hope. But not hope, but not as serious an injury that we might have first thought. Milan 2-1 over Red Star without Christian Pulisic. But that way, the McKennie goal is the one that's going to really stand out in a big way today. Now, also going on was the FIFA Intercontinental Cup. So what was the FIFA Club World Cup, which has now been moved to the summer and which has now got, you know, a boatload of teams playing in it. But they kept alive the smaller tournament here. And they named it the Intercontinental Cup. Pachuca today played Botafogo. Now, Botafogo was the Copa Libertadores champions. This was in Doha, and Pachuca scored goals in the 50th, 66th, and 80th. Idrissa Diosa and Rondon. Idrissa assisted Rondon on the third one. So the Tuzos beating Botafogo. That's a nice win, no matter what you say about it. It's a good, I think it's a good win. I'm intrigued with the FIFA Club World Cup this summer. And the amount of teams that are going to be in it. Look, I've talked a lot about expansion. We're going to talk a lot more about expansion tonight. But everything is getting bigger, bolder, wider. And it's more, more, more. How do you like it, right? Testament to this is World Cups now that are going to be shared in three countries. Saudi Arabia has been confirmed as a 2034 World Cup host. To think we got it in 2026 here in Houston, seven games. Pretty amazing. Seven games here in Houston, the World Cup. And in a minute, I'm going to give you the dates of those games and reminders about how to get tickets and things, because there's people talking about tickets in the upper deck going for a grand in other markets. But back to Saudi Arabia. They're going to host the 2034. This is how far ahead all this is going on. So Saudi money is making a huge impact in the sports world, and not just in soccer, but it's making a huge impact in the sports world. 2030. It's going to be a shared Morocco, Portugal, and Spain. And then they're going to hold three matches in the very beginning in South America because it's going to be the 100-year anniversary of the World Cup. So you're going to have a couple of matches down in South America, Uruguay, I would assume. And then you've got three countries, Morocco, Portugal, and Spain. Now, look, there are very few countries in the world that can host a 48-team World Cup, right? That's going to eliminate some of the smaller countries hosting it by themselves now. So you're going to get more of these combined Morocco, Portugal, Spain World Cups, and then the three matches in South America because of this. This is what Infantino says. He says, quote, "We are bringing football to more countries, and the number of teams," he kind of mentions, "is not going to hurt the quality." I'm not sure I agree with that. He says it actually enhances the opportunity. Sure it does. Opportunity comes in the form of more teams in it. But more teams means you're not going to have the quality of some of the World Cups in past history, in my opinion. You're going to have teams that don't deserve to get into it, just like in any playoff format. Teams that, I would say to you, Brian, there are teams that get into the baseball playoffs, the NBA playoffs.
We've seen it in...
Yeah, that really don't deserve to be there, frankly.
Yeah, we've seen the baseball expand their playoffs. The NFL has expanded their playoffs. College basketball is talking about expansion again, even after they added the playing games about a decade ago. And you do. You get, obviously, every step further you go, the quality of the team getting in is going to get worse and worse and worse. So, yeah, I don't know if it adds to the quality of play overall.
Doesn't, in my opinion. But, look, they're not going back on this.
No.
I mean, as much as I want it to be old school, it's not going to be like that. And for anybody that's out there in agreement with me, and we would love your input on this, 713-780-3776. It's not going back, and it's actually in a lot of ways more about participation. It engages more people. To the quote Infantino said, it enhances opportunity. Playoff structures are set up now to keep everybody in it as long as possible, and fan bases in it as well. So I think there's pros and cons to it. There's pros and cons to it.
I'm curious to something you mentioned about the 2030 World Cup, where they're going to start with a few games in South America, then it's going to move to Spain and Portugal and Morocco. Does that, I mean, we'll see how it's formatted out, but doesn't that seem like a disadvantage for the teams that have to play in South America? And then if they win, then travel to Spain?
Yeah. It all depends on the format, but you're right. Yeah, it'll be a long flight. And look, if Uruguay's in it, it's got to be in Uruguay because Uruguay is the country that the first World Cup was held in. 713-780-3776. Let's get some calls here. 713-780-3776 is the number. How do you guys feel about the expansion? And it can be sports in general, frankly. I don't care if it's other sports because there's a lot for me to learn from other people. But we can also talk about the expansion of soccer. Do you like the FIFA World Cup, Club World Cup this summer coming to the United States with 48 teams, including Boca Juniors? And teams like Bayern Munich, who are going to play each other. Let us know. 713-780-3776. Let's hit the phone lines and go to Lawrence. Lawrence, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I love the World Cup. Just kind of getting into it in 1994, but probably 1998 was the first one that I really followed. It's a really beautiful, special thing. I've been to two. I went to the World Cup in Germany in 2006, and I went to the World Cup in Brazil in 2014. And it's just a beautiful experience. It's great to meet people from all over the world who share this passion. And I think most people will agree that FIFA is a horrible organization. Incredibly, like, the amount of corruption is just disgusting. And I'm not in favor of the expansion of the 48 teams. And I would love to have, you know, with apologies to the United States men's national team, who I have cheered for very hard at different points in my fandom career. You know, soccer has really always been kind of about Europe and South America. And you talk about the first World Cups, you know, Italy did not go to the first World Cup in Uruguay. And so there's a lot of examples. I don't think England participated for the first two or three or four World Cups. And so there's a lot of examples of countries choosing not to participate. And the only way I can think to sort of move past FIFA is for a significant bunch of South American and European countries to boycott FIFA. Anyway, I will hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Lawrence. Well, look, FIFA was a part of one of the biggest criminal syndicates in the history of the world, right? Let's face it. How these, you know, all of a sudden Saudi Arabia is going to host. I'm sure money has nothing to do with that. Now, Lawrence said something interesting there. First of all, let's go to what he said. He said 94, this is where he got the bug. And at the time, and I'm not sure, but it may be because of the size of our stadiums, the 1994 World Cup for many years was considered, you know, the biggest, boldest with attendance and everything. And at the time, nobody could run an event like the United States. And that's why we would probably be the only country that could handle a 48-team World Cup. Although we are hosting it, we're going to get help from Canada. We're going to get help from Mexico. But the majority of it, the backbone of it, is in the United States. The early years of the World Cup, if you really go back in history, people were taking boats to get to Uruguay to play in this thing, okay? I mean, this is the beauty of going back into history and looking at the World Cups and how they advanced and how they've moved forward into the time frame that we're in now. And I think if you're younger, to go back and look at some of the reference points of how it started, where, when, who won it, all of this is the lore of it. I am with Lawrence when it comes to 32 teams is enough for me. I'm more about quality, not quantity, but I'm also not foolish enough to think that sports in this day and age now is as interested in quality anymore. They'll say it, but it's action that counts. If you're moving to 48 teams, it's about participation. It's not necessarily about meritocracy. Does this mean it's not going to be a good World Cup? No, not at all. It's still going to be exciting as heck. But I think in the game of competition, which now in some ways has been pushed aside, it's not even some of the main things. I think we're trying to get back to that now. I mean, soccer has been politicized for the last couple of years in a big, big way. Doesn't mean we don't see good games and great players. With social media and everything, it really has changed a lot. People are pushing their own brand. It makes you singular. It makes you solitary. Makes you maybe a little less team-oriented. But that's not changing. That's not changing. Guys like me got to get over that. This is Chris Stapleton, man. This is a soulful country, man. Ooh. Yeah, so, you
love,
know,
Chris Stapleton.
He's wondering about a lost love. We're wondering about a lost World Cup.
A lost love of the traditional
right now,
World
bring
Cup.
Us 32 teams. Enough of this 48-team stuff.
I feel the same way about the college basketball tournament.
Crushing me. All right, I'm going to remind you again next Tuesday. We'll come on out and talk in person about this. And we can also light up the phone lines. Coming up next is Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. He's out at the MLS Combine. He's going to join us from California coming up next. We're going to be at Hugh O'Connor's over on Dinkins in West University. So that's where we're going to be. 5 to 8 o'clock next Tuesday night. Lamont Brand's T-shirts of Soccer Matters. Capelli Sports soccer balls. We've got food from Little Patagonia. Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Get out there. Want to see you all. Want to celebrate Christmas and some of the holiday season stuff. Plus the World Cup in 2026. Even though it's got 48 teams, I'm still in. All right, I'm not running away. But 48 teams, and we got 7 of the games coming to Houston, June 14, 17, 20, 23, 26, 29, and one of them's around a 32. Take a break. Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad is coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Shattered. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, our friends at Cactus Music will like this selection. Shattered by the Rolling Stones brings us back here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Let's go straight out to California. He is the Dynamo General Manager. He is Pat Onstad, and he joins us now. Pat, how are you?
Good, Glenn. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks so much for taking the time out for both me and my listeners here tonight on the show. Just give us a little update what you're doing out there at the MLS Combine and maybe what that is.
Yeah, I spent a couple of days out in Palm Springs at the MLS Next Fest. So our academy teams are 15s, 16s, and 18s. We're playing other MLS Academy. So I watched a couple of days of that and then got a chance to talk to the kids and some of the parents as well. And then we just drove down this afternoon, Nick Colba and I, assistant general manager, to watch the MLS Combine here, where we watch some college kids for the next 2 to 3 days, interview them, and see what we can come up with. I think it's pick 18, if I'm not mistaken, and see where it goes from there.
So back to the MLS Next. When you get a good overview of that and you're allowed to really focus on that because you're not in season right now, what's your sense of the youth players coming through the Dynamo system?
Yeah, I mean, I think over the last 3 years, there's been a change in terms of probably the type of athletic profile that we've been looking for with our club and try to get up. I mean, it's our league is fast, quick, and aggressive. And I think what we've done is we've tried to focus on those type of players in our academy. And you can see some kids that are coming close. Like, they're starting to get to the point now where we're looking at players that we think can make the jump, not just to MLS Next Pro, but possibly all the way up to MLS. So we're pretty excited about our group.
I know you're moving it forward. You made a big move kind of getting out of competition with the youth community. At what point do you think you'll start to maybe start to dip into the mother load of producing locals that are actually in roles of responsibility for the team?
Yeah, well, we're probably a year or two off still from someone coming in and having an impact, I think for us, what we'd like to do is be able to produce players that come in and not only just play minutes and make up the 20-man roster on weekends, but we'd like to have guys, have a couple of kids come through and be in part of our starting 11 pool. So that's probably a little farther away, but we're getting better. Like, we're getting closer. And I think part of it is we went out and we made a conscious decision when Kenny Bundy was our second team coach, and we were going to play our young players. And we had the most minutes from any MLS Academy of any team in the Major League Soccer that played MLS Next Pro, which essentially is our reserve team. So we've made an effort to try to push these guys and give them an opportunity to get on the field in a pro environment. And I think over time, that's really going to pay off.
Pat Onstad, Dynamo General Manager, really appreciate you coming on, Pat. MLS Combine, I know you said you have the 18th pick. Is the college game kind of getting nudged away now with clubs in their academies and saying, we'd rather be focused on our 16 and 17-year-olds making it to the next level? What's happening with the college game now in combination with MLS and player development?
Yeah, the league's getting younger and younger in terms of the players that are getting opportunities, and that is to do with a lot of the academies around the country are now starting to produce these players that go into the first team. And those are the kids, 15 years ago that would go spend 4 years at college and then you'd draft them out of college. So I still think there are players in college that can make a difference. A Duncan McGuire, for example, and I'm drawing a blank now with a Charlotte forward, but there's Ajumangan, I think his name is. I'm sorry, I'm probably butchering it. But there are some players in college that can make a difference, and without a doubt. Can you find them, down in 18? We'll see. We'll see. But I do think it still serves a purpose, and it's an opportunity for a lot of kids that kind of got left behind maybe in an academy, couldn't afford to move to a big city and maybe play with one of the big academies, or were late bloomers. So there's still space and there's talent out there.
Now, you guys have brought in some players from out of state to the academy. You also have Brooklyn Reigns, who now got a lot of minutes this year. In some real roles of responsibility in some big games. That's happening now, too, across the league, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think teams are starting to recruit some teams. We have a big pool, though. Like, I think Brooklyn Reigns was someone we went and recruited 3 years ago and brought out of the Salt Lake Academy down in, they were based in Phoenix, and brought out Casa Grande. We brought him up to us. And I think for us was an indication that we didn't feel like we had the pool of players at the time in the academy that could jump to the first team. Now, I think we're at a different point in time. And that we're able to find these kids in Houston because they're out there. Well, our city's much too big. There's enough players in from Houston that are playing professional soccer all around the world, not just in MLS. So
yeah.
we need to be the ones that are cultivating these guys and getting them so they're excited to play for the Dynamo, and we're excited to have them.
And it seems like you got a good relationship with my former youth player Josh Gardner at Houston Rangers, and then I think there's another MLS Next Academy too. Is it IGF? But it sounds like you got good relationships with them.
Yeah, I mean we're working on those. Sometimes we're competing for players, so sometimes that can get a little tricky. But Josh has been wonderful to work with. With the Rangers, I think they've been. We're still just starting on the other one and trying to build that relationship up. But, I think for us, and we've talked about this on the show, Glenn, before, is I think we've burnt a lot of bridges around the youth community in Houston. And it's going to take time to kind of, mend those bridges and get those, develop those relationships again. Ultimately for us, we want to produce players that are professional players and can play if they don't play for us. Go on and have a nice professional career, and that's our goal, where you are a professional academy. And so for us, hopefully the rest of the city sees us as an opportunity to be able to, for them to be able to have a piece in the development of these kids that go on to have professional careers.
Dynamo general manager Pat Onset. Pat, in the big picture, I know in the past, clubs could get away with not really paying that much attention to a developmental academy, but now it just seems it's got to be a total necessary ingredient in the future, not only from the perspective of buying and selling, but also to win trophies and be cap compliant.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is you spend a lot of money developing these players and you hope that some of them could come through and then go beyond, and hopefully you can sell them. So that's part of it. But ultimately in the end, you do need to be able to produce players for your roster. And it's a much more cost effective way than having to go out and buy, spend $1 million on what essentially could be a backup, central midfielder, for example. And you're like, well, hang on a sec here. If we can start developing a Brooklyn Reigns and get him on the field and he goes to a U-20 World Cup with the U.S. and does well, the sky's the limit for him. So we're excited about those type of players, and I think we're pretty close to producing him on a regular basis.
Pat, when you're building this roster now, you don't have Hector Herrera coming back. Does the tactics change? Does the game model change a little bit, or are you still building your roster based on the game model you had last year and the way you played last year?
No, I mean, the last year and a half, really, we want to maintain that style of play. We believe in it. We think we have the personnel to do that. Granted, Hector Herrera, when he's on the top of his game, is one of the best, if not the best, in our league in being able to play under pressure and possession in central midfield. So that will obviously be a difficult piece to replace, and it still remains to be seen. Do we drop Coco Carrasquilla down into that role and give him an opportunity? He'll play that a little differently than Hector does. He's more of a guy that'll turn under pressure and drive with the ball. But ultimately, in the end, we still want to be a possession-based team that breaks teams down by using the ball rather than being a transition team or, kind of hit and hope type team. We don't want to be that. We like who we are. So part of our recruitment is, we're looking for kind of two profiles. One is, if we move Coco into the eight, we need almost like a 10 on the right side that can play a final pass, get in the box, score some goals. Or do we keep Coco in that position and find an eight that maybe is a little more typical Hector Herrera possession under pressure? And we'll see. Like we believe in Brooklyn Reigns. We do think he's a player that comes through. So I don't think we necessarily want to go and, block him as well. So he's going to get some minutes. We're excited about that, and we're excited to have Ponce for a full start the preseason, a full year, and
I think with Nelson Quiñones and Lawrence and Ollie, those guys coming back, we're pretty bullish on our group.
Pat Onstad is joining us very nicely from the MLS Combine out in California. Tonight is the expansion draft with San Diego, if I'm not mistaken, 7:30 your time, Pat. I saw something online. Tell me if this is true or not, because you're here to dispel rumors. Still negotiating with Steve Clark and Latif Blessing, or are they not coming back fully?
Steve Clark most likely is not coming back. We're gonna give Andrew Tarbell a run. We're gonna see how he can do. And we thought Steve had three very good years for us. The last two he was exceptional, a big piece of why we were successful. And unfortunately we live in a cap world, and we feel we have a good one in Andrew Tarbell, and this is more of a cap decision than it is a personnel or a performance decision, because I thought as a goalkeeper he was excellent for us. He made some big saves. His expected saves, you know, to goals against was one of the best in the league. He's good on the ball, so there's a lot of good things to say about Steve Clark, but we also believe in Andrew Tarbell. He's the guy that had the run that won the US Open Cup for us, and we believe he's ready to be a starter again in this league. So that's the tricky one, so I wouldn't see him. The Keith Blessing remains to be seen. You know, we'll have to see, A, how the draft goes tonight, what we're able to try to find out in the marketplace and see if we can find. But Latif had some good moments for us last year as well, but he's on a really big number. So part of it is, as free agency starts tomorrow, some of these guys need to see what their worth is. And some people will be willing to pay Latif that money. We can't. But if things don't work out for him, then maybe there's a possibility to bring him back next year.
Boy, Major League Soccer's come a long way, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's no question. It has come a long way. I'm looking at the players that were not protected. And, you know, for Dynamo fans, you have to understand that it's not easy to figure out how and who you're going to protect necessarily always. But how difficult was that for you, picking the ones you're protecting? You're also protecting some guys that obviously are talented and young and are coming off pretty serious injuries as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, you know, I have an owner who's an amazing owner, and I'm very fortunate to have him. But when he invests millions of dollars in a Nelson Quiñones and a Lawrence and Nolly, we need to make sure we protect those guys. You know, even though it's going to take a while for them to come back and teams may pass on them just because of that, but the reality is we need to protect those guys. So there were some tough decisions. You know, we had a couple of players that we were having back and forth with, you know, whether we take a risk of exposing somebody. We feel we have some good guys that are exposed, and you know, we could lose a good player, or, you know, we could only lose one, but we're fingers are crossed that San Diego thinks that there's some better fish to go pluck out of the ocean around the league. So we'll see what happens tonight.
Pat, for those listening in, any particular continents that you're focusing in on your recruitment for next year?
We've done a lot already in South America, so right now we're kind of focusing on Europe. That's where Asher is right now. Actually, Asher Mendelson, our technical director, he's over there now, trying to just kind of pinpoint, get us down to a final number where we start making offers and going after some players. But you know, we're doing our due diligence. We want to make sure that we get the recruitment right. You know, I think we did a good job in the summer with Ezequiel Ponce, and Lawrence Anali, and we want to make sure we continue to do that in our recruitment. The nice thing is we don't have to replace, like after 22, we replaced, 15, 17 players.
Right.
You know, this is a year where we need to get one right, for sure, whether it's the eight or it's the kind of pocket 10. We need to make sure we get that one right, but we have some good players in our locker room, you know, so we'll see where we end up after this. And then we'll have to get some depth pieces. So that will kind of play out, I think, a little bit in free agency. And we also may kind of dip our toes in the market with some younger upgrades and see what we can find.
And I get the sense this is a player that you want to help continue to unleash the potential of Ezequiel Ponce, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think there's, like I said, it depends on the player that we end up going with. I think if we go for the 10, then the profile we're looking for is somebody that can, you know, get in the box and score goals. At the same token, can still play a final pass. You know, Means probably more of a final pass guy than he is arriving in the box. So we think we need a little bit of a difference than what we have with Amin Bassi. Probably a little bit more like a Kowalczyk type personality that likes to get in the box. You know, maybe with just a touch more final product. But you know, we feel we have a pretty deep team, so we want to make sure we get this one right. We want this guy to come in and make a difference for us.
Pat, as always, thanks for being so generous with your time. You're a gem for that. Wishing you the best over the holidays. And thanks so much for updating everybody on kind of what's going on with the Houston Dynamo right now and letting us know that you guys are combing the planet for players.
We're trying. Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate the support.
Thank you, Pat. That's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. This is Beck Dreams is going to take us to break there. So you kind of heard it there from Pat with the type of player that's wanted, and it's depending on maybe in which direction they might go with Coco Karaskia. So good there. Here are the players that are not protected. Exxon Arzu, Ethan Bartlow, Latif Blessing, Steve Clark, Sebastian Ferreira, Mackenzie Gaines, Jan Gregusch, Hector Herrera, Sebastian Kowalczyk, Junior Moreno, Tate Schmidt, Gabe Siegel, Brad Smith, Daniel Starris, Usman Sia, and Jefferson Valverde. So it's interesting to look at those players because I'm looking at them and I think Brad Smith was being brought in to be the left back and ended up being more of a super sub. But there's things you can look at there from a hit and miss standpoint, which happens to every single team. But, you know, we'll see what happens with San Diego tonight and the roster build out with the Houston Dynamo. We'll take a break here. Again, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We're taking a break.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Fun, baby.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
It's something of a phenomenon. Well, soccer's becoming a phenomenon. It is exploding from the standpoint of expansion. FIFA Club World Cup will have 32 teams. You're going to see games like Bayern Munich against Boca Juniors, Flamengo, playing a European team. I think Flamengo's playing Chelsea. So I think from that standpoint, it's very, very interesting to me. And, you know, I'm kind of, I don't want it all to expand, but I think the Club World Cup is really interesting to have 32 teams in the United States. With the history of these clubs, you got Real Madrid playing Al Hilal. That'll be very interesting. So, the game continues to expand. We're not going to have any of those games in Houston. We will have the Gold Cup this summer. And Lone Star Sports and Entertainment and our friends out there, David Fletcher, they helped garner that Gold Cup final. So we will have the final here in Houston, which is pretty spectacular for the Gold Cup. We've never had that. All right. Houston Liverpool Supporters Group. They meet at Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. That's not the location we're having the World Cup 2026 party and holiday party next Tuesday. That location is Dinkins, D-I-N-C-A-N-S, over in West University. But one of the most fervent Liverpool fans you'll ever find, also one of the most fervent soccer fans you'll find. He is Ian Veery. He joins me from Houston LFC. Ian, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Glad to have you on, Ian. First off, I just got to say, give us a little brief update on Liverpool and how things have gone under Arne Slot, which I think is going to be pretty positive based on losing the legendary Jurgen Klopp.
I know it is absolutely, in a way, quite unbelievable. I'm not saying that because Jurgen didn't leave Arne a good squad, but Arne came in somewhat unknown from Feyenoord, and he's only tweaked really a couple of things and changed the way Liverpool play almost completely, I would say.
Tell us what those little tweaks are.
Well, he's gone. One of the biggest problems we seem to have last year, or have had under Jurgen, was when Andy and Trent go bombing up the outside, that always left kind of space for the other team to play into, shall we say. And I think just they're not doing that quite as much now. I think the emergence of Gravenberch has really changed the way Liverpool play as well, because now they're a lot more solid at the back. You see Trent going forward and Andy, but nowhere near like they used to. And then with Gravenberch sitting in front, they've just become really solid, like a back five. It's just really, really, really impressive. Because before, with Van Dijk, we'd be like, oh, whoever was next to him. But Konate's played well, and then Gomez has come in and done a good job as well. So, you know, a couple of little tweaks. But I think,
but in a lot of ways, it was just him moving it forward without coming in. And, you know, I think we see managers sometimes just come in and want to turn the whole thing upside down. You know, Liverpool, it's not as though you're picking up a team that was, you know, from 10th through the bottom of the Premier League. I mean, this is a team that's got amazing
Absolutely.
Things going on. So I think simplicity to me is genius. Somebody once said that. And it yeah. sounds as like subtle changes were made, but, you know, if things are working, why change them?
And I will say this, I think something happened with Salah and Klopp last year. There was definitely something going on, and he kind of didn't seem to be himself towards the end of the season. Of course, he didn't have to play over the summer, and he's come back in this season in amazing shape and just seems reborn and seems to be loving his football again, and that's just awesome to see. And even with the forwards going down, Jogo can't seem to stay up, unfortunately, which is such a shame for him, such a great player. But also the emergence of, oh my goodness, the Dutch guy, his name's gone.
You know, I'm not going to be able to help you here.
No, the forward, it's gone out of my head. He's just been playing lights out as well, pinging goals in left, right and centre. But Diaz has been playing better as well. The only one who does seem a little suspect for me still is Nunes. I think his game and hold-up play is better, but he still seems to be a bit goal-shy.
Oh, Cody Gakpo.
Yeah. Thank you, Glenn. Yes, Cody
Took
Gakpo.
Took me a while to think
yeah,
about
just,
it, too.
I could see his face for some reason. His name wasn't
no,
there.
No, these things happen. By the way, to your point, it's the number one defending team in the league. They've only conceded 11 goals in 14 matches.
That's right.
They
yes.
won four out of their last yep. five. Chelsea now has reemerged as being second in command here. And by the way, you know, Liverpool's only played 14 games, so they got a game in hand over most everybody. But it's Liverpool, Chelsea, and yep. Arsenal now, and it's Manchester City in free fall. They lose again today in the Champions League 2-0 to Juventus.
I
think it's pretty stunning to all of us.
I think a couple of things have happened with Manchester City, and I don't want to say too much about, because I know they've had some, there's some issues that have been going on with the Premier League. And I think the way they do some of their business has changed in the last two or three seasons. And I think now it's starting to manifest itself a little bit, because I think they had to sell some players that they probably didn't want to sell to balance some things. And I think they've lost that now. They're relying sort of on the old guard and haven't got too much youth really coming through right now. Well, that's how it seems to me. It is kind of a monumental fall off for sure. But Chelsea, Cole Palmer, one of the players that Man City
really
got rid of, absolutely playing his socks off this year. Loves the system, it seems, with Maresca, and very effective.
Brian, can you replay the goal call from the Weston McKennie goal? And before you play it, I want to point this out to Ian and the listeners. This goal that Weston McKennie scores today, the buildup of it, how he starts it in midfield, makes a run, gets into the box, and hits a side volley. If this is a European player, we're all going gaga, okay? We're all going gaga. And this is the thing with the American player sometimes, and I hope it never changes, because I hope the American player is always kind of sort of looked a little bit down upon, because I think that gives you the teeth and the motivation still. It's hard to believe. But this goal is as good as anything. It's a ridiculously beautiful side volley. It's a dipped left shoulder. It's an American winger that draws three guys to him and picks him out on a late run. Now, if this is Saka, or if this is Bellingham, we're going friggin' nuts. But this is an American guy, so it doesn't get the same run. Here's what it sounded like.
Con todo su oficio, con toda su calidad, y juega para McKennie. Ahí está Wea, a esto lo metieron. Wea con la oportunidad, mete el centro, se lo taparon. Vuelve a centrar McKennie, golazo. Gol, gol de la Juve. Lo metió McKennie.
Well, the commentator certainly thought it was worthy of any goal going. But do you think that's kind of true sometimes?
I think it is. And it was really interesting. I saw one of the headlines on the back pages for tomorrow's papers in the UK, and it was Western Supermare for Manchester City, which, for people that might not know, that's a town in England. And the way they played that, I thought, was just very good, and a great play on words there for the goal from McKennie. But Man City had some injuries this year. I think these guys, there's so much football. They're playing every 3 days almost, it seems, pretty much now, with the competitions, with the European competitions. And I think we're really now starting to see the effects of that.
Yeah, I would agree.
And it's actually quite disappointing to see. I think it's almost getting to the point, and I hate to say this, and please don't cut me off, Glenn.
No, I think
there's almost too much football now, in a way.
I think
with the expanded Club World Cup now going to, like,
correct,
a huge tournament.
Well, 48 team World Cup, and we were talking about this before. It's about quantity. It's about participation. You're bringing up a very big piece to this. The main actors in this thing are the actual players, and they're under incredible duress. But you and me were talking earlier today. I was talking to Ian earlier today, and, you know, I said, hey, let's cut it off here and just do it on the radio show, because it was good conversation. But you're a little bit hypocritical, because you also love the expanded World Cup.
I am not.
48 teams, Ian. Come on. What is this? Is everybody getting a medal now? Come on.
I don't like it. I'll be honest, I don't like it. And the other thing that's happening, which also we touched on today, is because now no one country can really host it, because there's going to be so many games, they need so many stadiums, it's going to a more pan-European, South American, Asian tournament. You know, what, the 2034 World Cup really, or no, the 2030 World Cup really does show that, with the games being in Portugal, Spain and Morocco, which are in reasonably close proximity. But then the first three games, or some of the games, are going to be in South America to commemorate the 100 years of the World Cup.
You got it. Ian, we're going to have to go now, because when I hear that music, that means it's the end of the night. We'll see you next Tuesday. at the Big Bash. We'll talk some more World Cup 2026, the expansion of soccer globally. A lot of good topics out there. Looking forward to having you out there and seeing you out there. And bring some of those Liverpool fans.
Absolutely. Good. Looking forward to it. I'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot. Thank you, Ian. Appreciate that from Ian. By the way, you're thinking about World Cup tickets right now. You got to go to FIFA.com/tickets. FIFA.com/tickets for Brian McDonald. I'm Glenn Davis. Big thank you to Dynamo GM Pat Onstad, for Ian Veery for coming on the show tonight. Lawrence with a great call as well to get things kicked off. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll see you next Tuesday at Hugh O'Connor's Pub on Dinkins Street, D-I-N-C-A-N-S, over in West University. It's going to be a lot of fun, going to be a lot of people out there. If you are a soccer fan, be there.
ESPN 97.5.